Welcome to Talking with the Experts, talking about all things business by business owners for business owners. Episode 252 with Michael Solomon.
And, you know, so I talk in the book about, as you say, the new chameleons. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm sure most people know that a chameleon is a reptile that, I don't know if they have them in Australia, but I'm sure they do, is a reptile that changes its colors as the environment changes, you know, to blend in and so on. Consumers are a lot like chameleons in the sense that we're not changing our colors, but we're changing our identities. Today, in today's world, we no longer have these very solid, kinds of lives where people really don't explore very much. They don't try new things. What we see today is that each of us actually plays many different roles. And for each of those roles, that's a different identity. So it may be, your role can be a business person. It can be a mother. It can be a wife. It can be a friend. It can be a member of the ski club. It can be all of it, but for each of these activities, you are at least slightly a different person when you go into those things, you know.
Talking with the Experts.
Hello, and welcome to Talking with the Experts. My name's Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. I'm your host for today, and Talking with the Experts is about all things business by business owners, for business owners, and you can find it on all good podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today it's my pleasure to introduce you to Michael Solomon. And Michael wrote the book on understanding consumers. Literally, hundreds of thousands of business students have learned about marketing from his books, including Consumer Behavior, Buying, Having and Being, the most widely used book on the subject in the world. Michael's mantra is, we don't buy products because of what we do. They buy them because of what they mean. Michael advises global clients on marketing strategies to make them more consumer-centric, and he is currently directing Nielsen's revamp of its global brand health model. He is a contributor at Forbes.com, where he writes about issues related to consumer behavior, marketing, and retailing. Welcome, Michael. What an impressive resume.
Oh, thank you. And thanks so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've used your book when I was doing my diploma of HR. And I'm sure that book was one of our reading criteria. So yeah, it's lovely to meet you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, there is an Australian version, I know.
Yeah. So you are a professor of marketing, and so how did you get into the marketing? You know, so what led you to become a marketer?
Well, the short story is I was in graduate school getting my PhD in psychology, and I started to do some research on how appearance affects the way that we get treated in the world and how we treat others. And we all know that there's a big impact there, but most of the research that was being done was just being done on the face, you know, whether you're beautiful or not. And I started to think, well, you know, what about the rest of the body? And so I started to develop a research program on the psychology of clothing and looking at how different kinds of clothing affect the way we feel about ourselves. And from there, I just kind of branched off. I got my first position was in a business school. And so I started to realize that, in fact, lots of products are consumed because they help to tell us who we are and maybe project who we want to be, et cetera. So, so I just made a transition from psychology into the study of consumer psychology and never looked back. So I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of great companies over the years, as you mentioned, to help them to understand that they can make the best product in the world, but if it doesn't fit people's needs or it's not consistent with where they think they're going in life, then it's probably not going to do so well.
No, and you know, consumer marketing or marketing to a consumer is is something that people don't necessarily think about. The person who's making the product or providing the service likes what they have, but they don't often see if it's, you know, acceptable in the marketplace. How can people change that around so that, you know, they're more consumer centric?
Yeah, well, there's the simplest thing that you can do is to get off your butt and actually go through the experience of being a customer at your own business. And, that right there is an eye opener sometimes. But more generally, don't just assume that you know what's best for your customer. You know, you may have a good instinct about that, but reach out to your customers in some way, you know, experience things through their eyes, but also where possible, involve them in your business, because they're one of your single best sources of information. And in fact, they're probably your best sales force as well. And a lot of marketers tend to lose sight of that. They think of the customer as somebody who's out there that they've got to convince to open their wallets. But in fact, if you're making or selling something that is really of value to people, they'll share the load with you happily. And that's what a lot of modern marketing today is built around, this idea of enlisting your customers as really partners in the whole process.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept and one that quite often is overlooked. However, how, if you're just starting out and you don't have a customer base yet, how can you then do that research or surveying or whatever?
Yeah, well, I guess it is a bit of a chicken and egg question, right? It's like we need videos of you performing, but how can I get those unless I get hired to perform, right? So it's something similar to that. But, you start with what you've got and you make the best of it. And if someone is just going into business or, they're launching their business, there's some reason that they're doing that. And at some point, hopefully someone has said, I really like what you do there. You ought to sell it to people. If no one's ever said that to you, maybe you ought to rethink what you're doing. But it's likely that at least some people have gravitated toward what you have to offer. And that's your first base. Think about who those people are. They might just be your cousins or something like that. But assuming that you have a small immediate group of people, even 5 or 10 or 20 people, rely on them as much as you can to kind of bootstrap yourself to the next level. And one way to do that is to think about the characteristics of the people who are gravitating toward your product, not counting that they're related to you and want you to do well or something, but people that really like your product, who are they? What do we know about them? What do they have in common? Do they tend to be, women and younger women or older men or, whatever the variables are? That's how you build yourself up slowly until you numerically reach a base where it starts to make sense to do something more sophisticated. But everybody has to start somewhere, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay. So, going from the business owner to, say, a manager, how can we actually get inside their heads and extract all that information that we so desperately need to be able to market correctly?
Yeah, well, do research, do marketing research. Either do it yourself or, hire somebody to do it. Depends on what resources you have. But there is a huge range of techniques that you can use. And, some of them are the ones that everyone thinks of, getting an email with an offer to take a survey, or even worse, getting a telephone call with an offer to take a survey and all of that. But, there's other things that require less resources. Really just kind of what I said earlier, get up and walk around, observe people, follow them around, see where they go in your store or on your website and things like that. And, it's what we would call a qualitative approach to doing research, where you may not necessarily be able to generalize to, say, the entire country of Australia, but you can certainly start to make some some observations based on what you see very, very informally. So if you think about it, if you're a business owner and you're watching what people are doing within your business, you're doing research already. You just need to take it to that next level and maybe do it with a bit more rigor so that you're a bit more confident in the results.
So is it advisable to keep some sort of spreadsheet or, document that put your findings into?
Well, I assume you're primarily referring to, say, small business owners, right? Yeah. Who are keeping track of their clientele. What the big guys do is they're going to use some platform like Salesforce to create a customer relationship management or CRM program, but you don't have to do that necessarily. It's one of the big advantages that the small businesses have over the big guys is that they're so agile and they're ready, they're able to adapt, but even more importantly, they probably actually know their customers. And it always surprises me that let's say stores on the main street or on the high street don't keep more track of who bought what. They might know the amount that a person spent, but if you're a salesperson and you have a clientele, let's say you're a clothing salesperson, you should have a file or some notes on everybody that within reason, everybody that you've helped in the past, what their preferences are. Basically, the more that you can do to form a personal connection to your customer is such a tremendous asset that a lot of people ignore. They just think, well, I've made the sale, now I'm sure they'll come back next time. But we know that, what I tell my students over and over again, and research supports this, it's far more expensive to attract new customers than it is to keep old ones. And yet what many people do, understandably, is they're always going after that next new customer, and they're not really monetizing their current loyal customers who might, for example, they could upsell them, try to think of other things. Once they bought from you, then you've created an opening, of course. And maintaining that relationship with a database, like you say, it could be just a simple Excel sheet, is unbelievably valuable, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm guilty of not doing it, but my services are a little bit different than other people's. And so I know who my clients are, and I know that, what they need, what they don't need. And I suppose when I get a little bit bigger, then I will probably have to start putting it down in something, because I can't remember everybody.
Right.
You've written a new book, Michael. It's called The New Chameleons: Connecting with Consumers Who Defy Categorization. And it was released in February of last year. Can you explain to me what the book's about, please?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And, I talk in the book about, as you say, the new chameleons. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm sure most people know that a chameleon is a reptile that, I don't know if they have them in Australia, but I'm sure they do, is a reptile that changes its colors as the environment changes, to blend in and so on. Consumers are a lot like chameleons in the sense that we're not changing our colors, but we're changing our identities. Today, in today's world, we no longer have these very solid, kinds of lives where people really don't explore very much. They don't try new things. What we see today is that each of us actually plays many different roles, and for each of those roles, that's a different identity. So it may be, your role can be a business person. It can be a mother. It can be a wife. It can be a friend. It can be a member of the ski club. It can be all of it, but for each of these activities, you are at least slightly a different person when you go into those things. When I see students sitting and sleeping in the back of class, I wouldn't recognize them on a Saturday night when they're, partying. And it's the same thing. We all act differently in different circumstances. So each of those circumstances actually requires a different set of products and services in order to be able to pull off those things that we need to be able to do. So basically what I do in the book is I talk about the tendency that we all have to put to want to be able to describe the world in very simplistic terms, to use categories like male, female, for example, or online or offline. You know, we love to make these distinctions. And a lot of marketing strategies are built around this. You know, we put customers into these large groups, you know, like young women or older men, you know, as I was saying, something like that. And we think we understand them because we've assigned a label to them. But chameleons today are not going to accept those labels. People don't want to be put into these big categories. And so what I do in the book, when I talk about consumers who defy categorization, I basically present some of the most simplistic but important assumptions we all make about our customers and our businesses and show why they're obsolete. So for example, in one chapter, I talk about the dichotomy between producers and consumers. So in the old days, you know, there was always a big divide between the two, obviously. But today, what's happening? A lot of consumers are actually bridging that gap and becoming producers, right? We talk about the gig economy. We talk about people now becoming, taxi drivers or hotel keepers, direct people who are into direct selling every day, housewives who start to sell cosmetics to their friends and on and on. And so to get, you know, back to what I was saying about enlisting your customers, you know, by keeping them at a remove and saying, no, I'm the producer, you're the customer, that's an artificial divide that can be very destructive. And so chameleons today want to crawl out of those cages. You know, they don't want to be put into a basic category like that. And so, again, you know, we can go into some of the specific ones, but for example, as I mentioned, male versus female, that's one of the most interesting ones for marketers today, because obviously around the world, people are having these amazing conversations about what does it mean to be, is there such a thing as male or female?
Non-binary people now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they have been for a long time, but no one's recognized them.
Right. No one's recognized it. But now, you know, in terms, if you're, for example, if you're in a business that sells to people based on gender, you know, you really need to re-examine that simplistic assumption that you're making, that your customers are going to sort themselves into either male or female and only buy what's traditionally appropriate for each, you know. And you think about some of the changing roles, you know, that chameleons, as they're taking on these new identities with men, for example, you know, a lot of men are wearing accessories, right? Let's say you're selling accessories to women, you know, like bracelets, like this one. Men are wearing them, right? So you're by assuming that only traditionally women wear that stuff or carry a bag, let's say, think of the size of the market that you're missing out on. And there are many other examples like that that I talk about in the book. Yeah,
I've noticed there's been a lot of talk about, you know, department stores having, you know, children's wear separated into male and female, and all the girly stuff is all pink and all the boy stuff is all blue. And, you know, a lot of girls like boy things, like to wear boys' jeans and boys' sweatshirts and all that sort of thing. And I'm noticing that the colours are changing in the children's departments, but they're still separating them rather than just having them into one great department. I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand the need for that.
Yeah, I mean, you are seeing actually some businesses are starting to have more androgynous fashion, you know, where not necessarily for little kids, but certainly for teens, where they're either eliminating the distinctions or they're mixing them in, where you might have, you know, a men's product and a woman's product right next to each other instead of being separated. But there's definitely and certainly, you know, in the fashion, you know, in the fashion business, say in Milan or Paris or something like that, a lot of the fashion shows are now combining male and female models. So there's a tremendous amount of turbulence, and that's just one isolated example. As we re-examine these basic assumptions about age, for, you know, age is another one. You're either young or you're old. But I don't think so. You know, 60 is the new 40. You know, so we have to re-examine a lot of these boundaries that we rely upon.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've never understood the divide between male and female. It's Even when I was little, I'd rather play it for the boys and with the girls, because boys were such much more interesting and they played better games.
A lot more violent ones, maybe.
No, I mean, I used to like playing marbles and, all those sorts of
Oh,
things that girls didn't like doing. I used to love doing stuff like that, but, whatever. But yeah, it's just, I've just never understood that divide with the genders. It's just, maybe it's just me and I'm just a bit strange. So, Michael, where can people find your book?
oh, it's available on Amazon and all the other major booksellers. And I should say I also have a website if people are interested in that, or some other free resources I have, michaelsolomon.com, and you can see the link there.
Oh,
But it's on
perfect.
Amazon for sure.
Sure. And so you do obviously public speaking. Well, I would have
Yes.
gathered that you would. So when's your next big event?
Well, I'll tell you, we're still in kind of a difficult period with these events, and so I'm kind of waiting on a few to see if they're going to come off or not.
Yeah, it's a very, very
With the
challenging time
Omicron,
globally.
it's still a little shaky, so we'll see what happens. But hopefully, certainly by the summer or next fall, I hope everybody, all the speakers will be back out doing their thing, and the people who listen to them are going to start going to meetings again too. That would be nice.
Yeah, I think hybrid private events are probably the better way to go. So there's no traveling, and the person who needs to speak can just do it online. And I think it's that's
Well, that's, I'm sorry. That's actually an example of a rigid category that no longer makes sense, right? We talk about hybrid as opposed to being in person or being all virtual. There's another example. If you think between the lines, you say, well, let's produce hybrid events where it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah, I that, and that's what I'm trying to push that here. They're becoming more common here because of the need, it's in the necessity of it also. Yeah, Michael, if people wanted to reach out to you anywhere, where can they find you other than on your website?
My email is michael@michaelsolomon.com, and you can also find me on LinkedIn.
And what's on your YouTube channel?
I have a YouTube channel, but I don't have the link to it right now. I can send that to you.
No, I've got it here.
Oh, you do
So,
have it.
yeah, so what could people expect to see on it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a bunch of small videos posted on there. Some of them are talking about social science explanations for consumer behavior events, like giving flowers on Valentine's Day and things like that. But also on my website, if people are interested in resources, there's a lot of free articles that you can download there, and that's probably a better place to go.
Wonderful. I'll have to go and check that out.
Please do.
Michael, have you got anything that you'd like to share with our audience as a tip or a hint or a bit of advice?
I guess my advice is that chin up, and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully that's not a train coming toward us. But I think this coming year, everybody needs to continue to be open to new ways of doing business, to pivoting very quickly, and to being patient with customers, please.
Yes, it's everyone's having a hard time, and everyone needs to find that little bit of patience that they didn't have before. All
Exactly. Yes.
right, Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'll go and stalk you on LinkedIn now.
Okay.
Lovely.
Please
Thank you
do.
so much for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Talking with the experts.
Thanks for joining me on Talking with the Experts. Make sure you subscribe through your favorite podcast app or on YouTube, and check out my Patreon page for more value for you, or you can buy me a coffee. My name's Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. I look forward to your company next time when I'm talking with the experts.